Amen. Sometimes we don't know all the folks that are going through valleys. Amen. And we need to always walk faithful with other folks and encourage them. Amen. We got plenty of people out there to discourage us. Amen. All it takes is turn on CNN. Amen. Or some other liberal news agency to just put us down where we have to struggle to get back from. Amen. But I'm thankful that there's a place we can come and be with family, amen, in God's house and get excited. All right, I want to see your Bibles again. I know you, if you weren't in the auditorium, you didn't know we did this morning. I brought mine too, praise God, amen. And I hope you'll use it tonight. I know that it was a help to us this morning. And he used the Bible this morning, didn't he? Amen, to help us. And so I'm sure he will tonight. Dr. Smith is, again, I won't be as braggatory as I was this morning, but he's just been faithful. And longer than I've been alive, he's been faithful. Amen. And I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for his stand. I know that sometimes we miss that, but we rode along and have talked some, and just, folks, there's a lot of people we can count who weren't. Amen. And so it's good to stand with people who keep standing. Amen. So, Dr. Smith, you come preach to us.
Thank you, Pastor, very much. Take your Bible, please, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I appreciate so very much the kindness of everybody. You've always been that way every time that I've been here, but it seemed like this time it's been even more so, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate getting to stay in the village as I've done before. And the brother and Mrs. Parsons had seen to it that there was all kinds of goodies in there, which I have taken full advantage of. And I think every time that I've been here and stayed in the village, I have said to my wife, I've said, when one of these houses comes available, we ought to just buy a house in the village. And she says to me, but they're not big enough for all the grandchildren. And of course, our grandchildren have grown up on us, and they're starting to scatter out here and there and get married and stuff. But when I get back, I'm gonna kind of set up a howl again that I think somewhere down the way, you know, if something came available. But she'll probably talk me out of it. But anyway, she's already back from church and watching, so I got to be careful what I say. But she's a doll. We have a good life together, and I'm grateful. And I appreciate, though, the fellowship I've enjoyed with Dr. Ms. Carter and Pastor Ms. Parsons. We've had some time to visit and just converse. And, you know, I love being around people that you're on page with. You know, it's your own page together. It just, I mean, it's just precious. And we had good times of fellowship. And several of you have shared sword stories of how the sword had some influence in your life. And I appreciate that. And I remind you, if you don't know, there is a radio station here in town. You know that? And I'm on 8 o'clock every night, 5 days a week, except Wednesday night. And then they may push me forward just a little bit. And whenever Pastor gets done, then they plug mine on. So I hope if you haven't been listening to the station at 8 o'clock at night, that you'll start doing it. I love doing the radio. I have a big time doing it. We have a small studio there at the office that we've put together to use, and it's just a great joy and delight. I go down there, and I think we're going to have to repaint the room. I go in there and kick the walls and all kinds of stuff, so I'm kidding. But anyway, it's a joy and a delight, and I thank you all for letting me be on the station, and we're just going to have a good time every step of the way. Amen. All right, do come by. Hey, you've about cleaned my book table out. Not quite, but just about. So better rush back there if you want something. And several of you signed up to get the newspaper, and I hope you haven't done that you will. Come by and see me after the service. Revelation chapter 3, and I will begin reading in verse 14. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, the key to what I want to give you tonight is found in that 14th verse, where he's writing to what is described as the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And that angel is a reference to the messenger of the church or the pastor of the church. They say, why does it use the word angel? Well, it's a fitting description. I mean, the pastors are always up in the air and harping on stuff. Amen? So it's a fitting description, and it's a good word. And he says to the messenger, the pastor of the church, and the very first thing that he says is, these things saith the Amen. Now, I've entitled what I'm going to give you tonight, When the Amen Says Amen, or When the Amen Starts Talking. You see, these letters to these seven churches are written to them at a time when things were not real well with them. This one in particular it's kind of a sad commentary. But even as you and I look around about us today, there's really no parallel in our lifetimes, no precedent for the kind of crisis hour that we live in. And whenever you think about the social crisis, the political crisis, pending economic crisis, I mean, a lot of things are just more than most of us have ever seen in our lifetime. And along with that, a lot of our churches are also winding up in the camp of the Laodiceans. And we need to battle against that. All of this, the consideration of it, it's critical for our families, it's critical for our churches, it's critical for our country. Now, this word Laodicea has to do, and it means the rule of the people. That means that some folks get together and they decide that they're going to committee the church. They're going to make some kind of a board that'll run things, and they'll call all the shots. Well, the Laodicean idea, the rule of the people, is really a route to ruination. And it really means in these days where we've got 1,000 clamoring voices on any given day who are clamoring for this, that, and whatever. And amidst all of the hustle and bustle of endless activities, I mean, you have councils that are meeting and boards that are talking, committees that are speaking. But I'm telling you, it's the voice of the Almighty, the voice of Amen, that really matters. The voice of the Amen. He's the thunder of heaven. He's like an eternal sonic boom that commands attention and ought to call us to a full alert. Whenever we talk about the Amen, we're talking about Him who is the light of the world. Him who is, in fact, the bread of life and the water of life, the one that is called the Word. He's the Creator. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's Lord and Savior, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. He's the resurrection. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's greater than Solomon, greater than Jonah, greater than the temple. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the Amen. And whenever we say that word Amen, that just simply means so be it. Let it be. Let it happen. Now, when the Amen starts talking, you say, what does he say? Well, look at the text. In verse 14, he said, I know thy works. I'm sorry, verse 15, I know thy works. And now he's just simply saying what he says. When the Amen says, I know thy works, he's looking things over. He's seeing how we conduct business. He's seeing how we live. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly, we are not saved by works. We're saved by the mercy, the grace, the goodness of God. We're saved because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But once we are saved, it is the Lord's design that he would craft us into the producing of good things. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He does want us to produce good, blessed, right things. And whenever that doesn't happen, the amen says, I know what's going on there. I know what's not happening there. I know what needs to happen there. I know thy works. The second thing that he points out in verse 15, he says, I wish you were either hot or cold. I mean, it's like they're bleached out. They're bland. They're pure vanilla. I mean, it's like probably they're not willing to take a stand on anything that matters. Now, some of the stuff they would stand on probably is standing wrong, but they just have not stood up to be counted. They do not have the fervor. They do not have the fever that they ought to have. And consequently, he said, I wish you were one or the other, but you're lukewarm. And that lukewarmness does not, I mean, it just does not fit the spiritual framework that the Lord has in mind for any of us. You know, I like college basketball and I like baseball. I'm not any better Christian because of that. But growing up in Kentucky like I did, you know, every boy in Kentucky plays basketball. You know, the fetal position for a boy's hands, it's born in Kentucky, is like this, fits a basketball. And we played a lot of basketball. And somewhere along the line, I discovered that I could hit a baseball too. And I've enjoyed a lot of that through the years. Now, you know, I go still to baseball games. I haven't been to a basketball game in years. I watch those on the tube. but I go to a baseball game, and you know, I see people there, and I watch them as they climb those steep stairs going up to the nosebleed section. And a lot of them are folks that are my age or older. They're wearing oxygen masks. And, you know, walking on walkers and all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, I bump into some people like that along the way out in the world. And, you know, they just can't come to church. But they manage to get to Walmart. You know, they manage to block up the entrance to the restaurant when the rest of us are wanting to get in. And hey, listen, I know they have to eat and all of that. But at the same time, I'm just seeing it. I'm seeing it. I see the same thing in the airports. I mean, you know, flying on the same airline like I do all the time. I have what they call A-list preferred status, which means I'm supposed to be able to get on the airplane real early. But we got all these folks now. They've learned how to ride the carts and stuff. And, you know, how, those people, they're broken down. Yeah, I know, but the airport's full of folks that I think you'd have a hard time talking in to coming to church. You see, what's the difference? They don't have the heart. They don't have the fever. They don't have the fervor. It's just not there. They may be into baseball, but not into the things of God. And whenever we get anything that so grabs hold of us that we are more attentive to that than we are to the eternal verities, those things that God says are important, then we have misstepped. And he said, I wish you were hot or cold, but you're not. The third thing you'll notice in verse 16, he said, and I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, understand here, he's talking to a church. He's not talking to an individual here. This statement is not saying to somebody, well, you were saved and you didn't behave, so I'm going to throw you out. That's not what that says. This is talking to a church and telling them they can lose their mantle. They can lose the power of God. They can lose their dynamic. They can lose their vision. They can dry up and, in effect, blow away. And he's just simply saying, you know, I mean, I'm talking about when the amen starts talking. He says, I know thy works. I wish you were hot or cold. And if you don't get this straightened out, he said, I can set you to one side. And you say, my, oh my, what an indictment. It is an indictment. Yeah. And here's what he says. Look in verse 18. He says, I counsel thee. Yeah. Now, you know, I've had people come to my office for counsel. And just every once in a while, somebody will do what I suggest. Every once in a while. A lot of the folks who come for counsel, they've already got their mind made up. And so they're hoping that I will approve what they've decided. But a lot of them have already decided they're going to go here rather than maybe what I suggest. Now, I don't get upset. I don't take offense at that. I just know it's part of the way the game's played. But let me tell you something. When you look to the Lord for counsel, and he gives you counsel, you will do yourself well to listen to what he says. And if you decide not to do what he says, you're not doing yourself well. You're bringing difficulty on yourself if you do not follow his counsel. The Lord will not counsel you incorrectly. He will tell you exactly what you need to know. And he said to these folks, he said, I counsel thee by... Now, let's see, let me find it here. We're in verse 18. He says, buy of me. By the way, if you're going to buy, that's where you want to buy. You know, don't buy in the devil's market. Stay out of the liquor store. Amen. And other such things. Buy of me gold that is tried in the fire. He's just simply saying some things have already been tried. They've been proven. I mean, they're as solid as pure gold. And if you listen to me, that's what you'll wind up with. And every young person, I mean, how sweet it is when a teenager latches onto this early. How precious it is when a young couple, I mean, they've just been married 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, and they say, listen, we're going to do this God's way. And they decide they're just going to follow the solid gold advice they find in the Bible about how to build a life together, how to build a marriage, how to raise a family. What precious truth that is. And he tells this church, build out of those solid things. I'll tell you, every place I go, almost every preacher that I visit with, and we've had conversations here, several of us, in the last 2 days since I've been here, about all of the really apostatizing that's going on in our age. Places that used to be solid are no longer that way. What happened to them? They began to listen to some man with some wild idea rather than taking the counsel of God. This independent Baptist movement that we've all been a part of for a long time, I mean, we came out of some things in order to build on the goal, in order to build solidly. And when I became an independent Baptist 46, 47 years ago now, I mean, everybody that I saw were packing a King James Bible. We were running bus routes. I mean, you could tell the men from the women 50, 100 yards away. You know? I mean, a lot of things. I mean, it was distinctive. And I'm convinced that distinctiveness built on the solid things that we've dug out of this book, I'm convinced those things still work in 2023. But now you got to work them. And a lot of folks are looking for an easy way. They're just looking for an easy out. But the Lord says, the amen says, I counsel thee, buy of me that gold that's tried in the fire. By the way, in verse 19, he said, those that I love, I'll chasten. The Lord loves the world. And that includes the least and the last and the lonely and the leftovers. He loves everybody. But at the same time, he will deal with you. And he says that's very true. You look in verse 30, the amen says, I'm knocking at your door. I call that verse the backslider's invitation. This Laodicean church is just backslidden. And the Lord says to them, I'm knocking at your door. If you let me in, we'll have fellowship again. And whenever things go awry, whenever things fall apart, whenever there's a breakdown, whether it's one of us or two or three of us or a bunch of us, listen, the same good invitation is still in the Bible. We can come back to the Lord. We can straighten things out. We can get back on track. It's one thing to start out well. It's another thing to stay at it and finish well. And if you've got things breaking loose in your life, if you've got things that have gotten adrift, listen, the invitation is right here. Come on back. Come on back. I often say, come on in. The water's fine. Amen. You know, now, the fact of the matter is, he says he's knocking at the door. He wants that fellowship back. You look at that 21st verse where he says to him that overcometh. Well, I think he's just saying there, I can give you some very special things. And he will indeed do that. So you and I, we need to listen to the amen. We need to listen. When the amen starts talking, we need to listen to what he has to say. When the storms are brewing, we need to listen to what he has to say. When the enemy encroaches on your turf, we need to listen to the amen. We need to listen to the amen when a friend betrays you. We need to listen to the amen when the fire dies out deep down in our soul, the hearth of our soul grows cold. We need to listen to the amen. When we have prayers going up, but they're unanswered, we need to listen to what he has to say. We need to listen to him when the money runs out and there's still a month to go. We need to listen to him when the faithful fail. We need to listen to him when we have critics carping at us. We need to listen to him when the liberals steal their way to power and burn our cities and seek to destroy our country. We need to listen to him. Listen to the amen. The answer is not going to be settled by some court. We need to listen to the amen. We need to listen to the amen when the boys think they're girls and the guys are marrying guys. We need to listen. You say, well, what's the amen say when the amen starts talking? Well, when the amen speaks, the amen says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. When the amen speaks, the amen says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When the amen speaks, the amen says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. When the amen speaks, the amen says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened you. When the amen speaks, the amen says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. When the amen speaks, the amen says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The amen, when the amen speaks, the amen says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. When the amen speaks, the amen says, say not ye there 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. When the amen speaks, the amen says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When the amen speaks, the amen says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. When the amen speaks, the amen says, these things I command you, that you love one another. When the amen speaks, the amen says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. When the amen speaks, the amen says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When the amen speaks, the amen says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When the amen speaks, the amen says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is forspent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The amen speaks. The amen says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? When the amen speaks, the amen says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. When the amen speaks, the amen says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. When the amen speaks, the amen says, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. When the amen speaks, the amen says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When the amen speaks, the amen says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. The amen speaks, the amen says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And the amen speaks, the amen says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When the amen speaks, the amen says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. When the amen speaks, the amen says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, a little time, and then vanisheth away. When the amen speaks, the amen says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. When the amen speaks, the amen says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Amen. When the amen speaks, the amen says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. When the amen speaks, the amen says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Now, the amen says amen to all of that. Amen. So be it, he's saying. All for me and for you, for every one of us, sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have been scripturally taught, we have been blood bought, and we're spirit caught. His sons, his servants, his soldiers should do no less but as the amen says and does. When the amen says amen, you and I should say amen. Right then and right there. If we expect the amen to say amen to us, we better say amen when he starts talking. Amen. 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 You know the peace, and it says it. And when the amen, him who is the lily of the valley, the king of kings, etc., when he starts talking, oh, we are well served to listen carefully. And all of these great passages that I've noted, and there are many others, every single one of them ought to have one of our heartbeats upon it. And we ought to listen and say heartily, amen, when he speaks. Stand up with me, please. Our heads bowed for just a moment. What I've given you tonight, I hope, will speak a word of encouragement to you. In these times where darkness is creeping in at every turn in the road, we all need to be reminded to listen to what the Lord has to say and pay full attention there. Need to do that personally. We need to do it for our families. We need to do it for our business, for our schools, etc. But if I'm talking to somebody tonight who has not settled that great issue of your salvation, Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave to make it possible for you to get into his family. And if you're willing to trust him, he's willing to save you. And in just a moment, there'll be some music. And when that music begins, I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, find your way down the aisle. And there'll be some soul winners here at the front who will sit down with you with an open Bible and help you to make that choice just the way the Bible says you ought to do it. There may be somebody tonight, you've been saved, but you've not followed the Lord and believers' baptism, and you want to do that. Well, listen, right down the aisle, come to the front here. Pastor will be here to greet you. And maybe others who want to come and join Landmark Baptist Church, we're glad to welcome you and the pastor will be here to receive you as well. And for all of the Landmark family, as God has spoken to your heart tonight, don't hesitate to use the altar and really settle whatever needs to be done. Reach out for the needs that you need to have met. And the altar's a good place to just have a little meeting with the Lord on a regular basis. Father, I pray that you'll help folks now to do what they'll be glad they've done when eternity begins. And may the sweet Spirit of God so work and move in this place. And Lord, help us to listen to the great amen when he talks, whatever he says. Help us, I pray, dear Lord, to listen carefully to every word that he speaks to us. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
All
you're coming.
To Jesus I
you're coming,
surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
There's room. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now.
This evening, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, why don't you step out and come? This is an old-fashioned invitation, and we're inviting you to come down and to learn how that if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you. He'll give you eternal life. We can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. While Brother Bert sings, you step up. We'll meet you here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. I surrender.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, boy, I know you may be hanging on. I've told the story many times of how we attended church and my dad hung on to the pew and tried to wait out the invitation. If you're here tonight and you're trying to wait out an invitation, folks, you need to just surrender to the amen who's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ who died on Calvary and rose again so that you could be saved. Why would you put that off? Why would you put it off another day? Why don't you step out while we sing again and we give you an opportunity? Why don't you step out and meet us in the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? As Brother Bert sings,
all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
I hope you did whatever God asked you to do tonight. If you're here and you're not saved, It would be the blessing of my life. And several of the folks that were met were here in the front. They could take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Don't leave without Jesus tonight. Don't leave without Jesus and an assurity of heaven. We're going to let you be seated. We have something to share with you tonight.